Thank you very much for coming for my presentation about water movement, nitrogen and potassium as affected by nitrogen and application rates under drip irrigated bell pepper. I would like to mention this study was conducted as part of a big project about integrated water and nutrient management under drip irrigated vegetables, and I will talk about bell pepper. Bell pepper as a vegetable crop is very important because Florida as a state is the second after California in vegetable production. In 2006, about 80,000 hectares were harvested with a crop value of about $1.6 billion. And bell pepper as a crop accounted for 8.4% of the harvested area and 12% of the total value. Typically, vegetable crops are produced on plastic mulched raised beds, and Florida has about 41,000 hectares of vegetable produced on the plastic mulched beds, and 50% of those hectares are produced under drip irrigation. So, Florida is an important state for vegetable production, but we have a challenge. The challenge is Florida has a very sandy soil, and the risk for contamination of water, groundwater by fertilizer nutrient are due to the low water holding capacity of the sandy soil or due to over irrigation. So the goal of the study was to improve water and nutrient management to reduce the leaching potential of the water and nutrient, either due to the heavy irrigation or low water holding capacity of the soil. So the hypothesis for the study was irrigation rates greater than crop ET led to nutrient leaching. So the objective of the study were to estimate the potential leaching of the nitrogen and potassium using calculated water flux. The study include six treatments, three irrigation rates, 66%, 100%, and 133% of crop ET, referred as I1, I2, I3. And irrigation rates were created using different number of drip tape, as the coming picture will show. And the nitrogen rates used for the study were the recommended IFAS application rates, 100%, and 125% of the recommended rate, and referred as N1 and N2. The nitrogen, the fertilizer sources used for the study were potassium nitrate, a source for nitrogen and potassium, and ammonium nitrate. Bromide and potassium were uniformly applied to all plots, and nitrogen and potassium were applied 20% pre-plant during the bed preparation, and the remaining 80% were injected weekly on an injection schedule. This picture shows this is a drip tape, this is the emitters, the distance between the two emitters, 12 inch or 30 centimeters. And we use a blue dye to show how water moves under drip irrigation. And we have the across the drip tape between the emitters, the dye moves vertically due to the low water holding capacity. And across the bed, it shows the water moves vertically. So this picture shows the injection schedule for the 80% of the nitrogen and potassium on a weekly schedule and according to the gross stage. We have five gross stage, and each gross stage have a different number of weeks. For the first 2 weeks, we call it gross stage one, and the injection schedule or injection rate in kilogram per hectare per week for nitrogen and potassium as K2O 12-12. The second gross stage was weeks 3 and 4, injection rate increase as the crop grow. And the third gross stage, 7 weeks from week 5 to week 11, and the growth stage number 4, week 12, and the last one for the last week. So we have a total of 13 weeks for the whole growing season, and the nitrogen application rate, recommended application rate for nitrogen was 224 kilograms per hectare, and for potassium. So when I refer to N1, means 224 for potassium, for nitrogen. This picture show, as I said, this study was conducted as part of the big project for irrigation, integrated water and nutrient management for irrigated vegetables. This shows the main irrigation line goes through the injectors, and we have three, two different rates for nitrogen, but the study was conducted with three, so you see here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six injectors for the three irrigation rates, but in my case, I work only with the recommended and 125. And we move to soil properties that affect water movement. We have the soil sampling for the treatment was 0 to 15, 15, 30, 30, 60, 60 to 90. What is important is the root zone, and we should keep the water and nutrient within the root zone as a management practices. And the water content at field capacity is 10%, and at permanent wilting point is 1%. And the difference between water content at field capacity and the permanent wilting point, what is available for the plant. If we multiply water available for the plant by the sampling depth, it gives you available water depths. For the whole root zone is 2.7 centimeter, and this curve shows the soil moisture retention curve for the sandy soil, as the relationship between volumetric water content and suction head. As you see, there is a big drop, and at 0.1%, you see the water is held at 100 centimeter. The other table shows the effect of volumetric water content as on the hydraulic conductivity. As you see, the hydraulic conductivity increased exponentially as the volumetric water content increased. And this shows also the same thing. We have at field capacity, the hydraulic conductivity is 0.1 centimeter per hour. Increase to 7.73 as the moisture content increased to 0.25%. So the experimental approach was to grow the crop bell pepper under different irrigation and nitrogen fertilization treatment, take soil samples to monitor the water and nutrient movement at different sampling dates. Soil samples were taken immediately under the emitter, and bromide, in addition to the blue dye, were used as a tracer for water and nutrient movement. And in those soil samples, distribution and percent remaining of the nutrient were calculated. This picture shows different experimental location within the Florida State, and the one where the experiment was conducted at Live Oak, and it's about 70 miles from the main campus where the university is located. The second picture shows bell pepper crop grown on plastic mulched beds with irrigation treatment created using different number of drip tape. When I refer to I2, means two drip tape were used to deliver irrigation, I3-3, I4-4, and N1 is the nitrogen rate 1, N2, but as I said at the beginning, this study was conducted as part of a big project. So when it comes to the percent of nitrate, nitrogen, bromide, ammonium, potassium remaining within the root zone, 1 day after first fertilizer injection. I would like to mention that the transplanting occurred on March 29, and the first 2 weeks there was no fertilizer injection. But irrigation water was applied through nitrogen lines. And you see here two different IV1 through the nitrogen rate 1, IV2 irrigation volume was applied through nitrogen rate 2. And the nitrate remaining 67% plus the standard error of the mean, bromide, ammonium, potassium, and what is important, the water flux. As I said, the main objective of the study was to estimate the potential leaching of water and nutrient using calculated water flux. In conclusion, our soil water content was above the 10% field capacity, therefore bromide, nitrate, potassium moved below the root zone. Lower percentage of ammonium nitrogen remained in the soil profile compared to nitrate, could be due to nitrification of ammonium to nitrate. In general, amount of water and nutrient applied during the first 2 weeks or crop establishment growth stage were above or more than crop requirement. The second data set shows percent of nitrate, nitrogen, ammonium, nitrogen, potassium remaining in the root zone during flowering or 22 days after first fertilizer injection. By this time, we have three irrigation rates, I1, I2, I3, 66%, 100%, 133% of the crop ET under the two nitrogen rates, 100% and 125% of IFAS recommendation rate, and percent remaining plus or minus the standard error of the mean. By this time, there was no bromide, or it was less than 1% of what was applied. So you don't see bromide data here because it was very low values. But the water flux is very high in centimeter per day, 50, 78, 64. What this flux affect is in water flux increase with increasing irrigation rates, and therefore move the nutrient out of the root zone in less than 1 day, going back to 50 or 78 or 64 centimeter per day was very high water flux values, and water was moving. Soil nitrate moved with below the root zone, and the increase with increasing irrigation rates. Ammonium remained within the root zone, and increase with increasing irrigation rate could be due to sorption. During flowering, a combination of 66%, 66% of crop AT and 100% of IFAS recommendation rate are adequate to meet the crop requirement. At harvest, the same data as affected by irrigation and nitrate application rates, percent remaining very low amount of nitrate, ammonium and potassium. The water flux was very still moving the nutrient below the root zone at a maximum of 2 centimeters per day, but the conclusion for this, even at harvest, water was slowly moving the soil nutrient, and there was little nitrate remaining in the root zone, and ammonium more ammonium was remaining in the root zone, and increased by increasing the nitrogen rate. A greater amount of potassium were in the root zone. And at this time, 100% of irrigation rate and 100% of IFAS are adequate. And by this, I would like to acknowledge my co-author, Dr. Peter Nikitakiza, Dr. Jerry Sartain, Dr. Kelly Morgan, and Dr. Eric Simon. Any questions?